Hello, friends. Without further ado, in this episode, Fireside Mystery Theater concludes our very first true crime series, all about murderous maids and lady serial killers. We ask you to ponder, are there truly fewer female maniacs among us? Or are we, perhaps, just better at hiding our crimes? In episode 50.2, we introduced you to a comely widow cut down in the prime of her life by her tempestuous farmhand. Or was she? We take you back to LaPorte, Indiana, for the closing chapter of the gruesome and wildly true tale of one of America's most prolific villains, Mrs. Belle Gunness. For you and only you, my dearest friends in the world, the interrogation of Ray Lamphere is the final installment in our series, She's a Killer Queen. It was recorded live in New York City on February 23rd, 2020.
Man, we got ourselves a murderer on the loose.
And we need to hunt him down before he strikes again.
All right, deputy, let's take it down a notch. Now, this bloodthirsty maniac goes by the name of Ray Lamphere.
Allegedly, Sheriff.
Nope, that is his name. He killed the widow, Belle Gunness, and her three small innocent children, and then burned her farm to the ground.
And we know the widow did not die in the fire, because her head was found to be decapitated from her body.
Allegedly. Coroner Max says that it's possible her head could have just burned up faster on account of all that hair.
Why?
I don't know how that kind of stuff works. We don't get a lot of burned up ladies around here. And we ain't gonna have any more. You will find Ray Lamphere, and you will bring him in.
Excuse me.
Hold your questions. I ain't done yet. Now, this Ray's a real ugly feller, scrawny in the frame with a pair of them deep-set crazy man eyes.
He is a real unfortunate-looking gentleman.
Excuse me.
Oh, hold your damn questions, and boy, is he dumb.
Dumber than a box of hair, though definitely not as flammable. Oh, and the way he smells.
Heck, excuse me.
What?
Heard you was looking for me.
You got information on Ray Lamphere?
Guess you could say that.
You couldn't have to speak up, mister. What would you say your name was?
Ray Lamphere.
Hot damn, get him, boys! All right, Mr. Lamphere, let's start from the top. How would you characterize your relationship with the widow, Mrs. Belle Gunness?
Pretty good.
Pretty good? She fired you from her employ, reported you for making threats against her life, and had you arrested for trespassing. Twice! What about that qualifies as, pretty good?
Well, she was just mad at me.
Why? What were you doing?
Trespassing.
Well, it is refreshing to hear such an honest answer. Did you kill Belle Gunness?
Nope.
Then what were you doing stalking around her property the night of the murder?
And before you get to denying it, we got an anonymous witness, Joe Maxson, your replacing, who put you at the scene of the crime.
Because I was there.
Why?
I was worried about her. She were yelling real loud like she do.
I can't believe you would do this. How dare you? After all I do for you, do I not give you the run of this house and everything I have?
I'm sorry, Mama!
Oh, you're sorry. You're sorry. How many times I gotta tell you kids, you do not go down in the cellar. And if I catch you going in my cellar again, you will regret it. Ray Lamphere, I see you out there. Joe, I told you to keep watch.
So, you spied on her dispensing some discipline to her children, and she saw you looking in the window. Then what?
Joe Maxson come and chase me off.
Well, then what was he doing down in the cellar, Ray?
You don't go down in the cellar, Ray Lamphere.
I don't go down there.
Why not, Ray?
I don't go down there!
All right, okay, Jesus. I think now's a good time to call it a day, yeah. Well, thank you for your cooperation, Mr. Lamphere. You have it on my word that justice will be served. Whew, Lordy, that man is guilty.
Oh, boy, guilty as the day is long.
Well, all that interrogating has left me with a powerful thirst.
Excuse me, Sheriff, we have been waiting to see you for several hours.
Oh, well, hello, Ms. Liza. Ain't you just the most dedicated secretary on God's green earth? Mr. Warden is lucky to have you.
We have an urgent matter to discuss pertaining to the case of Ray Lamphere.
And I see you brought Mr. Hale Gillian. Well, for crying out loud, woman, I told you once, I told you 5,000 times, there's only the most tenuous connection between the case of Ray Lamphere and this poor man's missing brother.
Mr. Warden thinks we got ourselves a real case here.
No, he don't. Just this morning, he was confidentially telling the sheriff and me that he thinks this case is open and shut.
Why don't you just hear what we came to say?
Oh, sweet son of a bitch. Mrs. Ludendorff, if anyone comes by with urgent police business, you know where I'll be.
Yeah, Sheriff, at your office.
And I'll be there, too. Can I come too, Sheriff?
But I am standing in your office.
He means the bar, Richard Dixon's Tavern, down on 6th and 9th Street. Mr. Helgelian, tell the sheriff the facts.
They are as follows. My brother was corresponding with a wealthy widow here in La Porte. I have proof that it was indeed the widow Belle Gonis. She encouraged him to take all his money out of the bank and join her at her farm for some time alone together. And I know she was also writing letters of this nature to other men.
See, there is something going on with that woman.
When Andrew went missing, I wrote to Belle and told her I was coming there to investigate and expose her for my brother's murder.
And Mr. Warden thinks this may have caused Belle to implicate Mr. Lamphere and burn her own farm to the ground.
So we are here to ask Ray Lamphere if he was present when Andrew arrived at the farm and...
And if he ever saw Mr. Andrew go down into the cellar.
Why? What the hell is in that cellar?
I don't know. Ray says he don't go down there.
Oh, good Lord, Sheriff. Just let the poor man talk to Ray.
All right, Mrs. Lugendorff. Fine.
Now, Mr. Helgelian, you'll want to speak slowly to Ray there. He's been through a lot, and he's not very bright. Mr. Helgelian, are you okay?
I've seen all I need to see.
Damn it, Ray. I asked you if you were telling the full truth, and what did you say?
Yeah.
And now it has come to light that this Andrew Helgelian feller is indeed involved.
And his poor brother is out there weeping into the bosom of Mrs. Lugendorff because he took one look at you and knew that his brother must be dead. How's that make you feel, Ray?
Cold.
Why's that?
Took my coat.
It wasn't yours to begin with. And since you got Mr. Andrew Helgelian's coat, that places him at the House of Bell. And since it is also Mrs. Helgelian's most beloved, most expensive mink coat, well, that places Mr. Helgelian in a most precarious position.
Was Andrew Helgelian a visitor of Belle Gunness, and did you kill him and hide his body in the cellar?
I don't go down.
No, you don't go down there. Jesus, just tell us what happened.
He came by, I guess. Left real quick, though.
Why's that?
They had words. And she was yelling real loud like she do.
Come on, Andrew. You just got here. You can't leave.
I am only wanting to go to the doctor. I'm not well.
Oh, you're just feeling the effects of a fine Midwestern supper. I've been saving all my best canned meats and unpasteurized cheeses and jellied pork fats for this occasion. It was likely too rich for your bachelor's constitution.
I'm telling you, I must see the doctor.
Is it on account of the way I look? I know I am stouter than I described in my letters, but I intend to take such good care of you, my Andrew. You are my one, my dearest friend in the world.
Oh, no, you are just as you described, perhaps more beautiful. But I must go. You must let me go, please. Get out of my way. I do not want to lay hands on you, but if I must...
Don't you touch my bell!
Damn it, Ray! I told you to stay out of here!
You're gonna raise hands against
you. It's none of your concern.
I will not let him hurt you.
Andrew, come on back.
You are ruining everything.
But you said I was your one.
Well, you ain't.
Andrew!
So they had an argument, and then he ran off.
After that night, he was gone, and Belle was real sad.
So, you and Belle?
No, we...
Ray, did you and Mrs. Gunness have relations?
No, we...
Well, then what was she to you?
She was my one.
Oh my, do we have ourselves a crime of passion? Do yourself a favor and indulge in a quick image search for Ray Lamphere. We'll wait. You are welcome. One might say you can't unring that bell. Now, back to the interrogation of Ray Lamphere.
Well, that, as they say, is that.
We got ourselves a crime of passion.
So you think that they...
Oh, yeah, for sure, definitely.
Allegedly. We don't know. All we know is that he is guilty.
And how do you draw that conclusion? What about how she wrote all those letters asking for Andrew to take all his money out the bank and tell no one? And may I remind you that it was not just to him.
Hey, slow down there. This case is simple as they come. He loved her. She made herself a man. He did not like that, so he killed them both and set fire to hide the evidence.
But you have sent men over to exhume the cellar, yes?
Of course we have. We're still looking for her head.
Excuse me, Mr. Sheriff.
Now, here's a man I actually want to see. Joe Maxson. I'm ready for some good news. What you got?
Well, you told me to come right over quick once we found the head.
Hallelujah. That fully seals the deal. Ray killed Belle. You found Belle's head and this case is closed. Miss Ludendorff, I will be in my office.
No, sir, we did not.
Then what you doing here, Joe?
I just figured you'd like to know.
Know what?
That we didn't find the head yet.
But see here, Joe, if you didn't come here, I would assume that you hadn't found it yet. That's how this whole setup was meant to work, you understand?
Yes, sir. Now, to be honest, sir, no. No, I do not.
Well, that's all right, Joe. Thank you for the information. Mrs. Ludendorff, if you need us...
You will be at your office.
Please, do not go there. Mr. Maxson, have you searched the cellar?
Oh, we don't go down there.
Why? Why don't you go down there, Joe?
I don't rightly know. When I was in her employ, she said it was like a private place, and far be it from me to disturb a lady's private place.
Well, sure, that's only natural.
You only want to be doing that.
I did go down there, though, once, before the fire burned it up.
And what did you see?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
I mean, there were some bags of dirt in there on account of the fact that she told me to go into the cellar to put some bags of dirt in there.
Doesn't she live on a farm? What does she need more dirt for?
Well, she asked me to bring up a bunch of dirt to fill in some big holes she had all over her land, so I filled in the holes, and I had some extra, so she asked me to put it in the cellar until we need it again.
Well, that solves that. Mrs. Lugendorf.
Oh, good Lord, Sheriff, just go.
Were they large holes?
Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, I don't know, maybe 8 feet long, about 6 feet deep.
Sheriff, please.
You cannot deny that is worth checking out.
Go on, Liza. Mr. Hill Gillian, you go dig yourself some holes. I ain't gonna stop you. Y'all know where I'll be.
The sheriff will be in his office.
This is the spot?
Yes, sir. Right here. She said she had buried some trash and was looking to fill in the hole.
Well, dig in, fellas.
Why did you stop?
I just hit something. Something soft. Miss Liza, you may want to look away.
I did not come here to look away. Keep on and careful not to disturb any evidence.
Oh, sweet Lord! Oh, this evidence has a powerful bad smell.
Keep digging.
I can't!
Then get out of the way and let me.
So, there you are, Andrew.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Helgelian. Joe, how many holes do you say you filled?
Quite a lot, Miss Liza. Quite a lot.
Damn it, Ray, come on! I feel like we are missing a huge piece of the goddamn pie here.
We got the whole force out there digging up that yard and finding arms and legs and other parts befitting a man, a couple of women, several children, one dog, and all butchered up to kingdom come.
The whole community is on fire. They got trainloads of spectators coming down to spectate at the crime scene. And that Asla and Liza are turning into a regular Dr. Sherlock and Mr. What's-His-Name.
So can we please get the plain and honest truth?
Might take a while.
Why don't you start with what happened to Andrew Helgelian?
So, he come to the farm like many of the other gentlemen callers before him, and well, after dinner he got real sick like they always do.
Andrew, come on back. You are ruining everything.
But you said I was your one.
Well, you ain't. Andrew! Hand me that cleaver, will you, Ray?
Yes, ma'am.
And don't just stand there. Come and help.
Yes, ma'am.
Andrew, you all right? Oh, look at you. You really have taken ill. Let me help you up.
Belle, what is that? Why do you have that?
This? Oh, well, this is my favorite meat cleaver. Only the best for you, my friend.
No, please!
Put your hand down, my one. Let me see that nice smile of yours one more time. Oh, my. Okay, I'll get the arms, Ray. You get the feet, and we will drag it on down to the cellar.
But I don't go down there.
Well, you do today. Those pieces of Mr. Jensen off my butchering table while I catch my breath a moment.
Yes, ma'am.
What's wrong there, Ray? I thought you'd be excited to see my most private place.
Mr. Jensen was real nice to me. He gave me a cream puff he bought from the bakery in town.
And he was real nice to me. My dear sweet friend brought about $3,000 and a brand new cast iron skillet. It was seasoned and everything.
All the men folk come through end up in the cellar.
Of course they do. Oh, why don't you go on and take its coat? Looks to be real fine mink fur, and I think you'd look very cunning in it.
Mr. Hudsberg, Mr. Linbo, Mr. Gernholt, Mr. Edmund, and old Mr. Barry, and Mr. McJunkin!
And don't forget Mr. Tiefland, Mr. Ridinger, Mr. Gunderson, and, oh my, at this point I may have lost count. How do you think a widow like me got so rich? You remember the last time we sold a hog? I don't. And I do so enjoy the love letter writing. But I gotta say, this right now is my favorite part.
You gonna butcher him like a pig, man?
I am. And when I'm done, you're gonna help me dig a nice big hole out in the yard and lay the pieces to rest in a bed of quicklime. Just be careful where you dig. I've had a bit of luck making friends lately. Oh, you know, that reminds me. I'm expecting another gentleman in about 2, maybe 3 weeks. Goes by the name of Big Lon Townsend. And if he's as big as he sounds, well, it would be lovely to have your help.
I'm not sure if I can.
What you mean, Ray? I thought you wanted to be my one.
I do, but I do not like it down here in the cellar. I would like to go back upstairs.
That's a shame. Then I guess I got no use for you, do I?
What do you mean?
I mean that if you go up those stairs, I may have to terminate your employment.
But, Bill, I love you. I won't tell no one.
Some of my favorite farmhands have said the same. They're buried in the hog pen now.
I ain't like them, Bill. I swear it.
Don't you do it, Ray. Don't you climb those stairs.
I'm sorry. I got to. Please don't be mad at me. I got to go.
Good goddamn. What happened then?
She fired me. Started making up stories about how I was fixing to kill her.
And did you, son?
No, sir, I did not.
But did you set the fire?
No, sir, I did not.
Well, it stands to reason that you would have plenty of motive to do so. Best to just confess now. There's a whole graveyard full of corpses on that land, and even if this goes to trial, you're gonna hang. That what you want?
I want to talk to my lawyer, please.
Warden thinks he should cop to arson. Face it, Ray, you are going down for something, and at least arson's not a hanging offense.
They think I killed my Belle.
I gotta ask you, Ray, if you didn't kill her, who did? One of the gentlemen callers?
No, ma'am. Did they ever find the rest of her?
They have not. Belle's head is still at large. Do you think it's possible that she lives?
I do not know. In truth, I do not know.
What do you know?
On the night of the fire, I was waiting for her around the farm. Like she asked me to.
Hello, my dear friend. Now, you take these bags and you put them where I told you. Do be careful. That is my life savings in there, and it is considerable.
And the children will come as well?
No, Ray. I'm afraid not.
Where will I find you?
I can't tell you that, my one. But I promise I will come and find you when it's time to go.
And what if I'm arrested and they hang me, seeing as you made all them reports to the sheriff?
I am sorry about that. I was very mad at you, Ray. You know how I get when I get a mad thought in my head. But I forgive you. And I do so appreciate your help.
And I'm glad to do it.
I know you are. Though I'm not sure why.
Because you know.
You still love me. When most men meet me in the cellar, they put a stop to that.
I did not like you in the cellar. But I did not stop loving you.
Well, ain't you just the sweetest man in the world? I will come for you.
And I will wait, Belle. I will wait.
Good night, Ray.
And then, Miss Liza, I said, good night, my Belle.
Oh, my. Is Belle still out there, Ray? Is she?
In my heart, I believe she is. I do believe she is.
In 1908, Ray Lamphere was brought to trial on charges of arson and the murder of Belle Gunness. He was convicted of arson. By some accounts, the jury did not feel they could convict him of murdering Mrs. Gunness, since the prosecution had failed to definitively prove that the body found at the scene was hers. After the trial, Belle Gunness sightings became to the early 1900s what Elvis sightings were to the 1980s. To this day, it remains an unsolved mystery whether the widow Gunness died in that fire or if she escaped to fresh hunting grounds.
this begins after the flames. They sifted through the ashes for her family's remains. Three children and her body all had been claimed, but Bells was found to be headless. The farmhand, Joe Maxson, said for the lives he cried, but he couldn't wake their slumber. No matter how he tried, he howled, but they could not hear him inside. For some reason, they were down in the cellar. Hell's Bell Gunness, Black Widow of the Heartland, she and love will never be together. A sick, twisted joker, her heart beats in wild rapture. They all came to stay forever. Oh, Sheriff Smutzer's man was the inquiring kind. He wondered the reason Bell's head they couldn't find. Soon the mystery began to unwind. All they had to do was ask questions. Well, apparently Bell wrote her last will a day before, afraid her life was not too safe anymore. A jealous man she personally knew threw her out the door, said he'd promise to return and burn the house down. Oh, Hell's Bell Gunness, Black Widow of the Heartland, she and love will never be together. A sick and twisted joker, her heart beats in wild rapture. Oh, they came to stay forever. They found old Ray Lamphere drunk and dirty on the street, blood stained on his shirt, he claimed him for meat. The murder, rap, and arson he swore he beat. He said the murderer was Bell and that he'd prove it. He led them to a farm in an area so big. He told them how he did it, make amends, to dig. He said there were many others, but they were fed to pigs. But all he did was help her, 'cause he loved her. Oh, Hell's Bell Gunness, Black Widow of the Heartland, she and love will never be together. A sick and twisted joker, her heart beats in wild rapture. They all came to stay forever. And now the ballad of Bell Gunness takes yet another turn. Her past was researched, and all the things they learned, a fortune in life insurance claims she'd earned. But that still didn't explain the killing. She had poisoned two ex-husbands, two of her children the same, and most every other body played a brief stint in her game. A lonely heart's the answer. Search searching for a new last name that many a lonely rich man are too willing. Hell's Bell Gullies, the black widow of the heartland. She and love will never be together. A sick and twisted joker, her heart beats in wild rapture. They all came to stay forever. You see, Belle's God, her God was money, and at the beck she'd kill. Some even say she's alive still, preying on another man's vulnerable will. Well, her race, it's in the Illinois State Prison. And I know why she left from me. She is afraid. I never heard from my brother since that trip to her in May. She knows now I'm coming for a debt to be paid. And when I find her, she knows I'm gonna kill her. Oh, Hell's Bell Gullies, the black widow of the heartland. She and love will never be together. A sick and twisted joker, her heart beats in wild rapture. They all came to stay forever.
Martina Da Silva, ladies and gentlemen. She slays us with her version of T.J. McFarlane's The Ballad of Belle Gunness, with her accomplice and accompanist, Nico Slater. What a way to die. And now, with our final word about murderous women, a man. Our resident poet, Dr. David Linton, will delight us with a slice of life from a slicing wife.
It's her turn. He tried to keep her in her place, be nothing more than a pretty face, to speak only when spoken to do what she was told to do. And for a while, a very long while, she seemed content to sit and smile, to do just what she had been told, to wait on him as she grew old. But eventually, there came a day when he could no longer have his way. She stopped and said, "I think I'm through. I'll no more be a slave for you." "Oh no," she said, "I won't shut up, and I will no longer fill your cup. I won't sit down or step aside. I'm done being your blushing bride. For far too long I've paid the price of thinking that I must be nice, that you could tell me what to think, or even what to eat or drink. So off I go to find my way. I'll find myself a brighter day. I too know how to aim a gun to make you crawl or even run. I too know how to wield a knife, be more than just a passive wife. I too know how to swing a fist or give your arm a breaking twist. And I can even drop a bomb. You thought I'd only be a mom? You can no longer bully me. I broke the lock and now I am free. I'll take the risk of speaking out. I'll yell and yes, I'll even shout. I will be heard. I will be seen. I don't care if you think I'm mean. Like Delilah and Samson, I'll cut your hair. Or like Lorena Bobbitt, I'll clip down there. You can call me a witch or even worse, as long as you learn to fear my curse. Lizzie Borden is my role model. She taught me not to pause or coddle, to stand up tall and take a stand, to not hold back for any man. So remember this next time you gloat or think that she's too dumb to vote. She's well aware of where you stand. She knows your values and your plan. If you defend the patriarchy and perpetuate that old hierarchy, beware. That's just malarkey.
The Interrogation of Ray Lamphere featured James Reeser as Sheriff Smutzer, David Linton as Deputy Cobb, Eric Davey Gislison as Ray Lamphere, Mary Murphy as the long-suffering Mrs. Lugendorf, Casey LaForest as Liza, James Kleinman as Asla Helgelian and Andrew Helgelian, James Scully as Joe Maxson, Rebecca Kopeck as Myrtle, and the part of Belle Gunness, America's most prolific killer, who you've never even heard of, was played by me, Ali Silva. The song The Ballad of Belle Gunness by T.J. McFarland was performed by Martina Da Silva, accompanied by Nico Slater. The poem It's Her Turn was written and performed by David Linton. The Interrogation of Ray Lamphere was written by Liz Leiser and Casey LaForest and directed by Holly Payne Strange. Our live show and podcast are produced by Gustavo Rodriguez and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our musical score was improvised and performed by Nico Slater. Our sound effects design was led by Greg Russ, with Ricardo Delgado, Dan Naglia, and Ali Silva. Live show sound was engineered by Evan Sachs with Ricardo Delgado. Our technical director at the Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. Our production manager is Liz Leiser. Jason Graves composed our theme music, and I manage our audio post-production. We, the motley crew that makes this Fireside Mystery Theater, dedicate as much as is humanly possible into creating our unique brand of audio entertainment. We do it because we love it, just as so many of you love listening. And this is just the kind of escape into the healing imagination that we need nowadays. We hope that if you are able, you would consider becoming a Patreon patron to throw some kindling onto our fires to help keep our creative loins a-burning. Your contribution through Patreon, $1, $2, $5 or more per month, can provide the vital lifeblood we need to keep doing this thing we do. We will have infinite thanks for you. Plus, we have some rewards that may tickle your fancy. We've got discounts on merch, postcards from Sunken Harbor, audio greetings from cast members, podcast shoutouts, a snazzy Fireside Mystery Theater enamel pin, and exclusive bonus content. And by bonus content, I mean the specially dedicated Patreon playlet. They are extra audio treats from each series that are released only on our exclusive private Patreon feed. Sometimes the playlets are companion pieces to episodes on our regular feed. Sometimes they are touching. Sometimes they are hilarious. But they are always exclusive and special for our patrons at the $5 or more per month level. From the series She's a Killer Queen, we've got a piece called My Name is Fire. If you want to hear FMT go all Game of Thrones, well, this will be a treat. Treat yourself and treat our ongoing endeavors by becoming an FMT Patreon patron today. Go to patreon.com/firesidemysterytheater or follow the link on our website. We are so grateful for any support you can give to help us keep the embers of our fireside flickering. We've got to give a huge shout out of thanks to our dear and longtime friend of the show, Brontis Shane Orengo. You've heard me utter his gorgeous name a bunch of times before because he's been a tried and true member of our small but vital live show production team. Not only is he a gentleman and a scholar, he has increased his monthly Patreon pledge to Fireside Mystery Theater, as well as a bunch of other amazing artists he supports. And speaking of gentlemen scholars, our dear Daniel Graves has increased his pledge to the Fireside too. Daniel helped us become a podcast way back when as an FMT producer. To Brontis and Daniel, we are so grateful to you both for being a part of our Fireside family and for shining some much-needed light on these pretty dark times. Dearest friends in the world, we at Fireside Mystery Theater long for you to become a subscriber if you are not already. We will surely see to it that you will enjoy yourself. And don't forget to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or any platform where you can lavish love on your favorite coven of creators. This right here is the spot where we will hopefully replace this recording with a thrilling announcement of our next live show. Until then, we urge you to check back for updates at firesidemysterytheater.com. All aboard, dear listeners, for a series of stories that will surely steamroll their way through your mind and into your heart. Tales from On Board a Hurtling Locomotive, coming up next from Fireside Mystery Theater. Did Belle escape to kill again? We'll leave that up to your own midnight musings. And while we're feeling philosophical, ask yourself this. Why is it that we find so few females in the pantheon of psychopaths, the hallowed halls of horror, the manifest of mass murderers? Does our gender make us more inherently moral, more ensconced in the confines of empathy? Do we really not know the darkness that causes one to kill? Or are we simply better at knowing how to mind the shadows?